we can take one moment to clear the room so that we can get started with the strategic planning process. We have a little less than an hour to get our discussion through, and it's a very vigorous and interesting piece that we're going to go through next. Okay, good morning, Mr. Peterson. Thank you very much, and glad to see us back here again. This morning, we're going to go through a presentation on talking about future roles. The board has talked about the role of the Region 4 playing as a guide for us and in generating our long-term vision and mission and setting our goals as to the role that Metro should play in this region. So I will turn it over to you now, Mr. Peterson and staff.
Is this on?
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. Is it Donna? Okay. That's okay. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I was getting a kick out of, you know, one of our ground rules on all these strategic planning sessions has been that, none of us on the, of you on the board would use a cell phone or text or anything like that during the meeting. And I noticed you all are sticking to that, but everybody in the audience does it all the time. Yes, exactly. So keep up the good work on that one. Okay. So if we can. Today what we want to do is, focus specifically on the, question of roles. And just a little bit of background here. Why are we doing this today? Number one is we're involved in a strategic planning process. This is an important component of that. Number two, one of the priorities you had, and it's important to back up on this, our first priority that you outlined in terms of going forward was fix it first. And that's not what we're talking about today, but I don't want anybody to think that, because we're not talking about it, it's unimportant, it's the number one. So this is on the issue of going forward over the next 25 years plus. How do we relate to Region Forward, which you've already discussed and decided that that is the regional perspective on going forward, and you want to see how you can be helpful in that regard. And so what we're really going to focus on today is the issue of the various roles that we can play in that. And then this will then lead to further definition in our next sessions about vision and mission and informing our, preparing for our stakeholder discussions, which will occur over the next 3 months. So let me stop at that point. Is that a pretty good summary of where we are? Are there any thoughts or suggestions on, is that fair? Okay. All right, now what we want to do today, and the staff work, Nat and his staff, Tom, have really done a good job, I think, in trying to bring down a ton of issues into something that hopefully will allow you to spend most of the time talking today. So these slides are limited, but they're designed to stimulate your discussion. And what they've done is they've outlined over here a series of major issues that you reviewed last time. And they're all, the question is, how do they relate to the Region Forward goals? And all the stuff we do here at Metro affects all of these major goals, but the one we're focusing on most today is the accessibility goals, if you recall those. Okay. If you could actually skip to the accessibility slide for a second. Oh, great. And just to review what those were for you, I mean, this is a summary of them, but a lot of focus on the regional activity centers. Actually, they were much more specific. They wanted transit connections to the regional activity centers, if you recall. They wanted to increase development of the regional activity centers. There were specific goals about how much of the affordable housing in the region should occur at the regional activity centers, how much of the new commercial development, and how many of the new households should be there. In addition, they talked a lot about getting the H&T index at 45%, the Housing and Transportation Index, trying to, emphasize the fact that people would, particularly in this economy, the more that we can provide transit close to where you live, the better they're able to cover their housing and transportation costs at that 45% of their total income. That was a specific goal of Region Forward. The maximization of connectivity. There were specific goals in there about reducing vehicle miles traveled, increasing walkability, bikeability, and other access points to the system. And then increasing choices was also another specific there. Okay, if you can go back to the other slide. Okay, so what we're going to do here, unless anybody has an objection, is we're just going to go through one of these at a time and talk about potential roles. So let's take the first one as an example. And for lack of a better word, we've used this provide a seamless customer experience. In other words, from the point of view of the customer, regardless of, if we're talking about the regional transportation system, regardless of whether they're on Metro, whether they're on ART, whether they're on the ride, what have you, the customer wants to be able to move within the region in as seamless and as easy a way and as best informed a way as possible. So what we're going to do is run through various types of roles that we could play and get you to comment and suggest. And these aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. You could be an operator and an advocate. You could be an operator, advocate, and leader, what have you. So let's just run through the list first just to show you the different roles. So the first one we're going to talk about is operator in each case, and we're going to talk about convener, and we're going to talk about advocate, and we're going to talk about leader in each one of these. And there's probably better ways of doing this, but this is the way we thought to, at least to stimulate the discussion. So let's go back up to operator. So in this particular case, the operator role here and the things that we do, obviously, we want to maintain our existing fare structure and make that better. We want to improve the customer service experience through the fare media and what have you, but it only applies to things we operate. If you just go to the next one for a second. Convener. One of the possible roles you could play is bringing together all the other parties in the region to talk about this issue, because there obviously are transfer issues, there's fare media issues, there's customer information. You spend an hour on that, customer information issues. There's a convener possible role here. The third one, advocate. Who is actually advocating for this seamless, easy to understand customer experience? Well, maybe Metro should take that on. Who else is doing that? And even if it's not your responsibility, you want to be in a position where you're always advocating, even if the other party's responsible for those provision of services doesn't respond. And then you could also be a leader, where we talked earlier this summer about the concept of a connection cop. You're being much, much stronger in terms of
I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but with the proliferation of local bus services and proposed rail initiatives, and I'll stand corrected, I don't know who does the coordination on the timetables between and among all those separate operators in the region. Is that accurate? Does somebody do it?
I have Jim Hamry to speak to that in more detail, but fundamentally what we do is we have our bus service planners coordinate with their counterparts in local jurisdictions to optimize them, but I'm not sure that there's a leadership role, but I'll ask Jim to comment briefly on that. he's standing in the back row there.
No, that's correct. The leadership is really driven by the accountants that are paying for both services, so we're driven to be optimal, and we take the lead in working with the jurisdictions to try and coordinate for the most efficiency.
Well, can I follow up? So if I wanted to take a metro regional bus to Mayor's City here and get on Dash, I could get the trip planner takes all that into consideration, and that customer can seamlessly maneuver among and between. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
Yeah. In terms of these roles, and this is a good example, this is an outcome we would like to see, the seamless customer experience. And I think we need to push as far as we can. But it's also been my experience, to be a leader, you have to have followers. And I think you have to say, what is our leverage for leading? Do we have the capability, the authority, the funding, and whatever to truly lead? Or do we have to come up with a process in which a number of people who have responsibilities take it on and assure that it gets done?
You know, it's interesting. I think I'm the person who asked you to go ahead and put convener in. And as I went through the presentation today, the order of these is actually flipped for me. I can be a solo advocate. I can stand up and say, here's what I think is right, or, and our agency could do that. And we wouldn't have to talk to anybody else in order for us to decide what we think is right. But to me, convener means I am spending my energy pulling people together to try to create that common vision. Leadership, I think you've captured leadership, which is a champion, is the champion. But I guess I'm confessing that I'm struggling a little bit. I see us at the upper end of this, however we describe it, that we are uniquely positioned to be that advocate, to take that leadership role in saying this needs to be what our customers experience throughout the region. But Mort's absolutely right. We can't do that if we're not in constant conversation with our jurisdictional partners, with our funding partners, and willing to bring the technology to bear to make that happen.
As I was reviewing the presentation, I sort of had some of the same concerns. It seems we need, before we dig down into the details, I would like to have a discussion of sort of the overall issues involved in these various roles. I was just saying, I think we need, before we dig down into the weeds, I think we need to have an overall conversation. And there's a couple of complications that I think that we sort of need to work through. One of them is that hopefully we are past the point of arguing about, you know, should we be spending our transportation dollars on transit versus highways. And there's more of a recognition that there's a holistic transportation system. And it makes no sense for us to be the leader advocate for other than the transit piece of that. I mean, we're not going to get into highways or airports or... But there is a discussion of how that holistic piece works and how we would be either an advocate, leader, convener, whatever, for that piece within it. The other thing is, within that whole system, I think there really needs to be some serious discussion, which I think we are uniquely placed to lead, serious discussion of the importance of transit and the importance of public investment in transit as a overall piece of the transportation system. I mean, there's starting to be a recognition, although starting is probably an overestimate, starting to be a conversation about whether in metropolitan areas you can exist without a metropolitan area that has a fully fleshed out transit system. That's probably in a major metropolitan area not possible to do anymore. You need that transit. And so for us in this area to act as an advocate for the necessity of public funding for, and since the board is made up of a number of entities that have put their money where their mouth is and have put public funding into this system, to act as an advocate for the importance of public funding for that into the long-term future, I think is a piece of the discussion that we also need to have.
I'm struck particularly on this that to have an aspirational goal without understanding fully the responsibilities to be to have this authority be able to walk and chew gum is perhaps making the aspirational goal too simplistic. The ability to say that we have, as an operator, we maintain the existing fare policies, technology, and customer service. To be a leader requires that we can actually prove that the authority can have a seamless customer experience within its own services. We have a long way to go to be able to be a leader for this region about seamless customer experience, including our own investments in technology and customer service standards for our own customers. If we're actually going to say we're serious about being an advocate and a leader in this area, we have to heal ourselves about the limitations that we have about this customer service experience. There is a requirement on the front end to recognize our own limitations as part of defining what our aspirations are.
If I might, you know, if you go back to the slide before this one, where you kind of pulled up the region forward, well, where did the left-hand side things come from?
These are the challenges that we presented to you that the organization faces.
Great, thank you. I just couldn't remember. As I look at these, there are some of them that are absolutely about us. There are some others which are about the regional vision, the regional system. And I would suggest to you that a true strategic plan doesn't treat those exactly the same, and that part of our challenge may in fact be in sorting through which are the things that really are about influencing the region or leading the region for the long term, and which ones are about how we need to organize and be strategic in the in our internal investments in order to achieve particular things.
That goes back to Neil's point earlier that in some areas you all may choose to or aspire to be leaders, and others you may say we want to operate a system. So it's going to be a different thing that you would choose for each aspect of this.
And I appreciate your comment, that I'm kind of focused in my mind on sorting those so that I know what I'm actually talking about, so that we have a different conversation, and I'm not sure that arranged in the order they're in will get to where we need to go. I guess that's really my reflection.
I agree.
Well, I think the sorting, to me, means to have a conversation about what metro, by definition, means to the region, and what elements make up that level of importance, and how we select that out of here. If we, you could take some of these, and they become, I'd say, small in the larger sense of what metro is, not as an operator, but as an entity in the region, and I. As each time I pulled this up, as I looked at it, I kept going to regional activity centers. I come to this point in thinking, where in a planning role of how Metro will exist in the long term do we play, and what of these give us our greatest strength and latitude? So if we start with, let's say, the seamless customer experience, that could be narrowed down to a much smaller piece, I think. And we might say, yes, we want to be a leader in it, but is it our strongest role that we're going to play for the larger metropolitan region? And maybe that was just my lens of coming through this, but if I wanted to check these off, I would start giving them different levels of importance about the strength of one versus the other.
Not to
me. and very much to the point.
Yeah, I have a similar experience, and particularly, I mean, Tom used the word responsibility earlier. For me, the first one, for example, customer experience, it doesn't even belong on this chart, because it's more a fundamental responsibility. We should have a business plan that reflects achieving it, but in terms of, from a strategic vision, it pales in comparison to the range of the other issues that we need to address. And I don't know how much of our current responsibility we view having a seamless regional system for customer experience. If it's not part of our responsibility, for me, it would be part of the dialogue that we talk about. Should it be, and can we get it there? But in that context, yes, maybe it goes as a part of a strategic plan, but I would have looked at that as one of our responsibilities already, not as a strategic aspiration. Now, is it an aspiration in terms of getting better at doing it? Yes, but that's part of the business plan as opposed to the strategic plan for what do we want to grow to, if that makes any sense. It does to me.
We could debate at the staff level whether this first item should be one of the roles. I mean, again, using this top concept, is that maybe?
It feels that the issues that are going to be, that are most important for us to either convene or to lead or to identify, are the ones that are going to, the hard ones to grapple with, are the ones that fall further down the chart. You know, what is our role in terms of the regional growth and development? What do we lead, or do we follow development? Do we play a role in are we at the table to help shape the decisions that will impact where those regional activity centers occur? Or do, are we positioning ourselves so that we will always be following it? Maybe we need to be in front of it. And those are the kinds of issues I think that we need to make sure surface at the highest level and not get wrapped up in the weeds of kind of business execution and efficiency. I recall that, yes.
And that concern was raised about looking at the overall, how we all plan. And that's how this came up.
But see, in that context for me, the strategic question is the growth and development of those independent transit systems. And are we, is our role to facilitate those or to, what role do we play in the growth and development of those as opposed to making it seamless? And to me, that's the more strategic issue.
Okay. Well, the only point I was going to make on that is I think it falls in the improving efficiency of surface transit, too, the seamless customer. Because I can tell you, if you have a bad experience somewhere, you might not ever use transit again, and that hurts the metro system. And in addition to that, you know, if WMATA hadn't been a leader, say, on things like fare media, you still would be paying a different way on some of our local bus services, assuredly.
Well, my comment
is metro. So I think they actually can be combined. I think the customer seamless customer service experience is part of improving efficiency of surface transit too, because well, in some cases we've done it the more efficient way in standing up jurisdictional service, but the jurisdictional services is high quality in part because it's part of a seamless network,
right,
with WMATA, with fare media, with routes, and with timing and things of that nature. And so I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm just not so sure how many of these things are fall into the improved efficiency and, right, and quality of surface transportation, because that is a key of any efficient system and a high quality system, is that the customer experience be seamless, especially when you're dealing with multiple jurisdictions.
Yeah, I wasn't speaking to diminish the importance of the issue. I was just wondering whether it's a strategic issue versus a business execution issue, and it's a fair point.
I guess I would share the frustration that I'm hearing from some of my colleagues on the board with sort of the way this discussion is being set up. I would really like to spend a little bit of time talking about these nine things that I don't think we've really had a chance to talk about, talk about what we think their importance is and how we would approach groups of them before we get down into the weeds. And I would make a proposal that I think that you can divide these nine things. The first three of them, as was suggested, really have to do with our running our system and then how that deals with what's going on around us. The middle three are more of dealing with regional issues that there are a lot of entities that are dealing with. And the last three are even bigger than that, and that I think we should definitely talk about those, but it's not even clear that a regional entity might be able to influence those, and we should talk about whether we want to expend the resources to do it. But I'm frustrated with the way this discussion has been laid out, that I think we're down into details about how we get things done before the board has had a chance really to make a decision on what the importance of these things are and what we would link and how we would like to approach them.
Neil. Can I just ask you to talk? I agree that I think these group. I'm not sure that I think they group quite the way Kathy does, but I think they do group. But could somebody talk about the difference between expand transit services in the region and increase regional transit use? They seem to me two sides of the same coin.
I think actually they're just slightly different ways of So expand transit services in the region is really more about coordinating the transit expansions that are going on right now. So there's a DC streetcar, there's Arlington, Alexandria streetcars, light rail. How are these things all coordinated together to make sure that they interrelate as efficiently as possible? The last one, increasing regional transit use, is really the question of the aspiration that the board has for the region about how much future growth is served by transit. So right now we have, you know, the frame of reference number I have for this is that there's, you know, 4.2 or 3% of total trips in the region are made by transit. Do we want to preserve that mode share? Do we want to try and increase that mode share in the region over time? Do we, you know, are we content to see it go down as growth occurs in places that are difficult to serve by transit? So that's what that latter one is.
Okay. So part of how I was, I mean, so the really big idea here, the strategic idea that the board has to sort of say yay or nay to, is do we, as a strategy, as a commitment, want to expand the mode share of transit use? I mean, if that's something we want to do, then we're going to have to coordinate transit services in the region. We're going to have to provide a seamless customer service. We're going to have to address core capacity, and we're going to have to improve station access. So those all become, strategy isn't quite the right word, but they hang off of that big idea of we want to move the mode share forward. And I think, you know, if you go through some of the other ones, and maybe even efficiency of surface transit fits in there too. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I think there's a couple of big ideas here, and then some really important things that we have to pay attention to under those big ideas in order to figure out how to spend our time and our energy. I was suggesting that that's one of the very big ideas that's up there.
Well, let's take that.
I think we all know it. It's just a different comment. Yeah. Did you say? Yeah. Well, it's before. It's after the activity center. Talk about it? You want to do that?
jurisdictions and others that are have responsibility in this to actually make it happen. Be much more proactive, I guess. Perhaps the way that my leaders are more proactive at it. Maybe put some muscle behind it and put the business plan behind it.
Well, to me, part of the issue there becomes what's the competency that we bring to the table in that discussion? And if we come to the table as the as a smooth operator, the best train operator, then that's what we put into the mix and help people to do. If we, from a leadership standpoint, it means something entirely different, that we're able to bring a level of expertise around what moves people, what influences people to move on transit, and what are the strategic goals that could be put into the mix, given our expertise, that will help the region flourish. And for me, that you know that means how do we define our competency, and what's the competency that we need to aspire to have? To have the respect to be the leader at that table.
I was just picking up on a couple of earlier comments. The crisis, not about what we're playing with, but it's a lot of capital. So, underlying everything I hear the concept, and if you catch it, you say, now where's the only control? That's the thing. If you also start to pick up this message, that's the thing.
I agree completely. It's an enormous opportunity and responsibility. The question is, what is the responsibility that we want?
Yeah, I think your description of as an operator is limited. I think going back to what Kathy and I think Mary were alluding to, part of the operator responsibility for increasing regional mobility will be providing a seamless customer experience, will be addressing core capacity issues, improving station access. That will, so it does support that particular thing, and I think those are the kinds of things I would encourage being put under the operator piece of this pie, and it'll be probably in other pieces as well. You know, it's not just limited to this one.
I was trying to think of giving clarity as to what would be, what do we see as our future primary role? And if I look at the entire list from the region forward there, I think it's the sorting out of what we think, even outside of the point that you raised, Tom, as to whether we can do it, it has to be whether we should do it. If we don't do it, who will do it? And you could go through any of these. And so for me, it seems like, okay, are we going to be the leader in advancing what we think is the appropriate planning for transit use in this region and how the region develops? Or are we going to be, as we stand alone in the extension role that we play, to watch it extend and then we become the operator? Because I think it changes our role if we sit back to do one as the leader and two as, name it, convener, advocate, whatever. And I think we could play in any of these, but the point is, which one should Metro be as we look and we pull the region forward as our guide? And if we're going to use the region forward, to me, we need to say which role we think Metro needs to be the greatest influencer and leader in. And that may not be that we will do it all, but what role can we play? And that's why I come back to the planning part, because the activity centers, for some reason, have become the center for us, and I think they should be. But they have to be done so such that, as a Metro provider, or operator, or convener, it works well. And it answers the question of the role of transit in the region. Because otherwise, if we don't play in a strong role there, we may not get what we really want to be the good operator we may not get what we want to be even a good advocate for funding. And so I think all of these could be a role for us, but the question is, if we set a priority and said, okay, one, two, three, where do we start with this? As operator, we could assess ourselves and determine, are we doing a good job? Can we do a better job? What will it be? Well, we're going to be that, or should be that anyway. But the next role is, where do we lead? And I think we ought to choose where we want to lead.
In my experience in these things, back to the chairman's comment, the best way I try to organize this is that who has the carrot? You know, if we're going to be engaged by all of these great policy initiatives, where's the carrot? I mean, that's going to drive a lot of the discussion and make things happen or not make things happen. And I agree with Tom and the chairman's point about, you know, self-reflection ought to be our starting point about whether we, you know, can walk the talk and chew gum and all that good stuff before we even think about convening or advocating or operating, you know, or leading. The second comment I wanted to make is, if you look at the moving forward, you know, there's a whole bunch of metrics in here, you know, and some of them are self-evident and some of them are pretty easy to understand. And there's a lot of footnotes. And back to carrots, that it's going to take some money to do all these wonderful things that are in the region forward. So who has the carrots? I would, or like another matrix, you know, if we're not in control of, let me be really specific, Metro's the designated recipient, right, for FTA? All right. We're not the designated recipient for highway dollars. We don't control that, okay? We have no control over gas taxes. You know, we don't get, you know, we may get some, we may not. I don't know what the future holds. But I think it's a carrot situation going in rather than a whole host of initiatives that are all equal and we have to sort through it. We'll be here forever. So I'd look at where the follow the money. That's how I look at these things.
You know, I can't think linearly in these circumstances, as probably is clear already. So when I think about this increased mobility piece, and I think about the importance of Metro of transit to our continually developing region, this is how I think about it, and it may or may not be helpful. I've been, ever since I came here, I've been struggling with this idea of where's the low-hanging fruit? Where are the opportunities that we already kind of know about here at this region, the places where we're running service that's empty, the places where if we increase bus service a little bit, all of a sudden we'd go from okay bus service to great bus service. And I feel like in some ways that's a body of knowledge we have that that others don't have in an integrated manner. And so if I'm thinking about regional activity centers, which they're kind of calling now complete communities, and I'm thinking about the fact that the region's now having this conversation about where should the complete communities go, the critical piece of information that Metro has is where is the cheapest place for people to get complete communities, because it's that low-hanging fruit. Whether you're talking about the ends of the Green Line or whether you're talking about corridors in Virginia, which may be served partly by Metro and partly by our regional services, where we could get to the kind of bus service we have on Columbia Pike right now, which is 4-minute headways in the morning going into, you know, for people going to work. A combination of Metro and local bus. So to me, if we want, if this is a place where I think Metro can make a critical difference, we can say, here are the opportunities we can see with marginal dollars. Here are the opportunities we see if people are willing to put in big dollars. Here are the opportunities we see if states and localities are willing to change a few policies, like dedicate lanes for bus rapid transit during peak. So that all of a sudden, I think we begin to help the region leap over where they're kind of stuck, because we've got this set of information which can drive the conversation in really important, fiscally sustainable, as well as environmentally smart, and tying into the need that the whole region has to identify where to put housing for jobs along corridors. I mean, it for me, that all, so I see us as critical to this in terms of popping the region forward, no pun intended.
Money.
I don't know that I do need as much money as I need strategic insight and strategic focus on what we're trying to do and why our information matters.
So we're going to monetize our experience? That's fine.
Again,
that's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Fine.
It's worth something.
I guess Alvin was waiting.
Just one point, and it really is building on something that Mary said as well. To me, we need to talk about why this is hard, and that's not acknowledged here. It's implicit, but it's not acknowledged. Region forward means, can we all get along? And it's not that we, and that's overly simplistic, but it's not, our system doesn't exist in a state where a governor and a legislature have the control to shape those policies independently. The issue we confront is that we are three states and the federal government. And that's why we're having a hard time describing, coming up with euphemisms for, can we create a single policy that all of the jurisdictions will buy into. And it seems to me that it's more of an opportunity for leadership than it is an obligation, because we are the only entity that has, and we've said this in a lot of ways going down the pipe, but we are the only entity that is contractually tied together to support a single objective. And to me, what we need to do is figure out how to leverage that contract to help those jurisdictions and those political entities collaborate and cooperate in strategies that they would not otherwise engage in. And I think that's the power we and the opportunity that we have, is how we use that contract in a way that we don't right now. And I don't see that as a salient part of the discussion. It's implicit, but it's not part of what we are talking about specifically.
One thing that was
I think it is, but I think I defer to our elected officials who have to deal with Richmond and Annapolis and City Hall. I mean, that's something that's at another level than where we are.
Subject to what they want to do. I mean, Mary gave the example, just
It's the governor. It's the governor. I'm sorry. It's not us. It's the governor.
I guess I just wanted to add one point, which is a big idea point, which is one thing we're in a position to do is to articulate the value that's being created in the region as a whole. We may not control the purse strings, but if we are an articulator of what value is being created, and that can be real estate value, that can be household travel transportation cost savings, that can be affordable housing benefits, and any suite of things that the region values that we play a role in creating, that's something we can articulate. And I think also supporting some of the comments I've heard around the table, we're knowledgeable about in what places we can create that value most cost effectively versus places where it is very expensive for us to create that value. And I think what I'm hearing is some kind of notion of what value should we be creating in the region? What is Metro expected to do in that regard in the future? And then can we support conversations at one of these different levels of leadership about how much it costs and who's best positioned to create that value?
Not only are there two states, the District of Columbia and the Congress, there are 9 operating bus entities besides Metrobus in this region. The reality is this is the most fragmented region, both about transit and land use and governance in the United States. Maybe the New York metropolitan region with Connecticut and New Jersey
comes close,
but they don't have the Congress.
They don't have to work together.
They don't have to. Yes.
They don't have to.
The only asset that operates regionally, the only asset that ties us together, is Metro Rail. It is ours. It is our responsibility to adequately manage it as a regional resource. Thinking about trying to relate the regional centers to that network is a challenge. That was alluding to that, I think, indirectly. The only realistic framework we have for providing our vision and our resources to this fragmented, unmanageable region is the Metro Rail network. What we can bring to this with all of these entities is the capacity through technology development to make this network function virtually for the customers so that they don't have to see 9 different bus companies and 2 states in the District of Columbia. They only want a ride. And our strength about that has been in the past is developing that kind of technology framework that allows this region to operate virtually. And we're not seeing that, I don't think, as a strength. And we're not actually using our internal resources to develop that as a strategic objective for this region with the support of the region. The other is that we probably have the only real, and although it is limited in scope, we have the only real capacity to do the sophisticated planning analysis around the utilization of transit in the region, both bus and rail, and that can be a service to the region about a resource that everybody can depend on and trust as a universal framework. But we don't develop that for that reason. We develop it for our own internal purposes instead of trying to develop a capacity for integration of transit into the growth patterns of this region. It's a different way of looking at that set of objectives around regional.
But just building on that, we have a certain number of things that we are good at. They are our tools. I think the real value in the region forward effort is there's a vision. we're not really positioned well to establish that vision because we don't control many, many other factors. But I think we can look at it closely and say, where do we have leverage? Where can those who have this regional vision get closer to it because of things we're doing? And therefore, we've got to be strategic. We cannot take on everything. We've got to figure out what could we do well that leads in those directions. I think that might be a way to kind of sort out these various missions that are there and say, which ones do we really have the platform, really have the capability, and can integrate that with the vision in order to get people who control other things to help bring that vision about.
Can I make an amendment to that? I very much like Mary's notion that the whole idea of increasing regional transit use is basically the sort of ultimate long-term goal. I would also add ensuring financial sustainability, but whether we add that or not, I think that the notion that there is a long-term goal that benefits the entire region is sort of necessary to sort of make sense of all of this.
Make sure I hear. Did you say increasing overall transit use? Is that what you? I want to hear what your premise.
Well, I was intending to build off of Mary's suggestion that this list of nine items are not all equal. Mm-hmm. That, for example, the idea of increasing regional transit use or increasing regional mobility, however you want to phrase it, is an area where we need to take leadership because there is not another entity that is necessarily able to do that the way that we are. Am I correctly interpreting what you were saying? And that in terms of organizing our thoughts, maybe putting that ahead of some of the others and clearly saying that we want to be an advocate or a leader in this area might be a useful step toward organizing the rest of it. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I understood you to say.
Well, I have these two ears and I kind of hear two things. And I hear that because Mary used the term complete communities as a reference to the redefinition of the Region 4. And to me, complete communities are so much more than that. And that I think one of the things we might assess ourselves at is what's the level of regional transit service do we have and how efficient is it toward making those communities complete? Because I can name a lot of transit service and I still see the inadequacies of communities being what we would refer as complete. And so I don't want to play off of words, but I think of us as more than just a transit agency. I think of us as an engine of a region, and that engine is utilized to what extent for what things. How do and who will we capture as we do so? So it's a little. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't actually think any of this is incompatible, and I think that's the important thing to remember here. Achieving complete communities will increase regional transit use. There is no question about that. It will provide greater financial sustainability for individuals, for our agency, and for our region, as well as meet all kinds of other goals that we have. So I think how we tee up what we're thinking about is our strategic set of actions is really important. But I do think this is the cluster that matters the most in terms of us making strategic long-term choices. And the last thing I would say is we can't lose sight of the fact that there's a piece of this which is long-term, and we've talked in terms of 30 years, maybe, or four, I can't remember. But then there's also a subset of things that we are going to need to attend to in the relatively near term in order to not end up in a really bad spot as a region, as an entity, and for our riders.
Neil, you were bringing us to a direction and conclusion.
And a clarification geographically, are we also worrying about Frederick County, Loudoun County, and Prince William County in this endeavor, or is that something?
Loudoun's coming in the mix here.
No, I know, but the outer county, I'm looking at the map, this is the map, and it says that those three other counties are involved. Metro doesn't cover those jurisdictions. I'd put that on the table as a consideration.
The Region 4 document applies to those areas. They're obviously not part of our compact, but I don't see why you wouldn't allow yourselves the freedom to think about them.
And we have to be reticent on that.
Well, you raise an interesting point, too, but and Artis was just mentioning, when you speak of counties that don't have a voice, because the interesting thing is, they do have a voice. I mean, Maryland has a voice, Virginia has a voice, and while we don't discuss those issues at this table, when we're at the other table, we're discussing those, because the issues that I'm sure Virginia faces and the district faces, how much investment goes into the mass transit system of the Washington region versus the Baltimore region versus the rural transit systems versus the other systems that are out there. So we've got to balance that, and we have to make the case for why it's important for Maryland to spend a lot more money in this system than it does in every other system throughout the state. And that's a compelling argument that we have to be able to make and be able to justify as to why there's an economic benefit and a transit benefit to the state of Maryland. I'm certain the District of Columbia must do the same, and the state of Virginia must do the same, and the jurisdictions there. And so we're not in a vacuum at all that says we only respond to the needs of the counties identified in Region Forward. It's much more complex than that.
Or in the compact.
Or in the compact.
There are customers, too.
Absolutely.
Just, if you're not in the compact, doesn't mean you're not our customer.
Absolutely.
Can I just add one point to that, too? And maybe it's embraced in what you already said, but I think we have to effectively demonstrate our value to the region. And I'm not certain that we do that, because every day choices are made between the dollar here and the dollar there. And I think it's critically important for us to demonstrate why the dollar invested in mass transit and in Metro must be considered carefully. And that's a different piece of data.
I did want to offer to the board that over the past 6 months, we have been putting together information to support something we've been calling the business case for transit. And so we're actually prepared in the next session or sometime at the board's convenience to go through that. But it discusses the real estate value that's been created, household, some of the things I was describing before, household household transportation costs savings, travel time savings, the costs of alternative infrastructures that would have had to been built if Metro hadn't been built, and what the cost from a livability and an economic standpoint would be. They all get to the idea of what is the value that we're creating in the region, and you know, it starts to identify what, you know, it's not just there are carrots out there, but we're actually a carrot maker. And so the question is, and so, you know, we just, you know, we need to get some of those carrots back, but that's, you know, we are a carrot manufacturer.
Madam Chairman, could I request that if we could get that relatively soon? And the reason I suggest that is many people are beginning to work on their legislative packages heading into the General Assembly sessions next year, and that information would be very useful to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. We're adjourned, and we will be going up to upstairs. Executive session.